It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
New single sounds great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm excited. Today's the day.
Absolutely.
That's funny that it worked out that way, huh? How did? Well, we'll talk.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's weird. Like weird things are just lining up.
That's great.
Where it's kind of like, have you ever had that happen in your life? Where it's like, this happened, and then you're like, how are we going to do this? And then, like, all of a sudden, woof, out of left field, something comes in, and you're like.
It usually means something terrible is right around the corner.
Get out of here. Way back. Looks up. There's a cycle. You can't put it on the board. Yes.
A single, double, triple, and home run in one game.
He has hit for the cycle.
Welcome back.
Episode 8.
To our Cycle fans, this is The Cycle. Pat McGann, your host. Jim Flanagan joining me. Jim, you've been doing the podcast now for a few months, and we talked about opening day on each episode, I believe.
Here we are.
And here we are indeed. Just wrapped up opening day, and we had a great conversation with Johnny Resnick, who's our main guest.
Lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls. Really fun dude. Just an easygoing guy. Great to talk to. Really enjoyed it.
Great guy. He was here to sing the national anthem for the home opener.
It's got
to
be terrifying.
It is got to be terrifying. And it's not that relaxing to sing in that weather, I don't think. That was not the ideal weather for opening day.
Obviously, for Sox fans, you know that opening day snowed.
Yep.
One of my favorite things about opening day, too, is a picture of Chance the Rapper dancing after throwing out the first pitch in what looks like a blizzard.
It looks like
a music video. You know what I mean? Not something that actually happened on
opening
day. He was hitting the folks
in a
blizz.
Out, which I didn't know what that meant, but I guess that means that's a dance move.
I guess so. I don't know.
I got to start.
I'm still dabbing. You know, I'm
old,
behind
man.
The times.
Still dabbing.
I got to start. Urban
I just learned the
stuff.
Electric slide.
You're doing great.
I don't know how to hit the folks
Two
yet.
Hops this time.
Goo Goo Dolls, though, I've been a fan of them for a long time, and it was really neat to meet him, and I wanted to throw like a White Sox, Goo Goo White Sox at him, but I think he would have not liked me.
I could see why. We learned some interesting things about you on this podcast, Patrick. Your affinity for a certain TV show as a college student, that was kind of weird to me.
I was flipping through.
I'm not going to ruin the story, but Pat tells a story about a Goo Goo Dolls appearance on a TV show. That's fantastic. He's right. But I thought this was either something that happened when he was a child or now that he's a grown man with children. I didn't think it would happen in the middle area, you know, when you were just a 20-year-old
Of course
dude.
You didn't think that because you don't know me well enough. Nobody does. I'm an enigma. You can't put me in a box. Anyway. That story, it was fun to talk about.
It was great.
About.
It was a lot of fun.
They'll know soon what we're getting at.
Absolutely. But I'd like to thank Johnny, I mean, and the Goo Goo Dolls and their fans and everything. I mean, it was a really fun opportunity. Their team was great. We got to listen to the new single.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff going
so
on.
So Alive. Yeah, I already downloaded it. So we'll talk about that too. All right. Let's give out our Chris Sale autograph hat. We've been talking about if you give a review on iTunes, we're going to put you in the running for an autographed Chris Sale hat, and we have a winner. We put all the reviews. We had 30 reviews.
30 reviews.
We put them into the Chris Sale hat, so we have it. It's beautiful, and we picked a winner. Jim, who's the winner?
Our winner is Jerry O. It's called Just Add Celery Salt, which is a nice little Bloody Mary reference. Jerry O's a tailgater. This podcast is like a great hot dog from Fat Johnny's. It has everything, and at the end, you feel like you have had your fill.
Yes, you do.
Not exactly sure.
Well, I think the Just Add Celery Salt then was about the hot dog.
Okay, thing. You know, it probably is. I'm more bothered by the fact that, like, when it's done, I'm full of it. I don't want any more.
That's how your mind works.
I don't leave this podcast thinking,
like,
I want
to
hear
drinks.
More of this. That does. It's become a theme.
This is
the show,
just as sorry, saw. This is a Bloody Mary.
I don't know
reference.
Why I thought Bloody Mary reference. Maybe it's because I've had a couple this morning.
Maybe
and but yeah, no. Congratulations, Jerry O. Jerry, what you need to do is email us at thecycle@shysox.com. Email us over there, and we will collect all of your information. Again, thecycle@shysocks.com. Also, thecycle@shysocks.com, where you can send us questions, where you can send us your thoughts on the podcast. Maybe just a nice little note telling
us. I want someone to try and scam us and get us to send them the hat.
Okay.
So if you're out there, yeah, try.
Give it a shot. If it's good enough, we'll send you a fake Chris Sale autographed hat.
No, so I'll send him one of my CDs.
Oh, you send one? There you go. Pat McGann's new album available on iTunes called
Sounds Good.
Sounds Good. Just like this podcast. Yes, I love reading the reviews, by the way. Have you gone through and read any of the reviews?
I've read some.
And people are overwhelmingly positive, even the things that they say we can improve on. I think a lot of it we agree with. I mean, we're working hard. We're trying to get better at this.
So we'll cap it off at the 30 reviewers, and now we're looking for more reviews, and then we'll come up with another prize for
Absolutely. This time it's going to be just for the most positive review. So the first one we wanted honesty, and we drew out of a hat. This time we just want the most unobjective positivity we can have.
Right. I want to mention this. We are doing an event with the White Sox. This is for White Sox Charities. It's called Stand Up with the Sox. And it is going to be me and Jim Flanagan and Kevin Bozeman, who you've heard on this podcast a few times. It's just a night of stand-up comedy on Thursday, June 2nd at the Stadium Club right here at U.S. Cellular Field. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's the Young Professionals Council, Jim.
Great group. Great group. I can't say anything about them.
I can just picture them in their cubicles right now. The Young Professionals Council.
Hey, bro, you want to get out and go to a Sox game Thursday?
What's a young professional? How can you be? How professional are you if you're young? Not as professional as the old professionals.
Sure. You're lacking the experience of the old professional.
The Young Professionals Council. But we're excited to be working with them. And White Sox Charities is phenomenal. Christine O'Reilly, Sarah Martin. I know Sarah's really pushing for this event to be a success, and I'm sure it will. I know some White Sox ambassadors will be on hand, including Bill Melton.
Excited to see him. Limited amount of tickets. I think there's only a little over 200 tickets available. Go to whitesox.com/comedy. We're slash comedy. We had this discussion earlier. I don't know which. But yeah, you can find out more information. There's two different packages. There's a VIP package, which includes all you can drink, which I feel like is something young professionals will go for.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be a fun
heavy
night.
Heavy booze on a weeknight.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been up in the Stadium Club.
It's beautiful.
It's great for comedy. It'll be intimate. And it's a tax write-off.
You're
it's for charity.
The field. It's a nice event. It's a really good time.
So we'd love to see you guys there. Keep listening to The Cycle. We appreciate you downloading, subscribing, and reviewing. And again, enjoy this episode. This is an episode that we kind of envisioned when we pitched this whole idea to the White Sox. It's not about inside baseball. It's
right.
Not about stats. It's this guy who happens to come. There are a lot of incredible people who come through the doors here at U.S. Cellular Field. This guy, Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls, was here to sing the national anthem. And, you know, getting access to these people we thought would be kind of neat to just sit down and talk with them. So enjoy it. And we'll be back next week. We are going to be with Darius Fleming, who's throwing out the first pitch at tomorrow's game. All right, well, this is exciting. How about this guest, Jim?
We got a great one today.
Johnny Resnick, welcome, man.
Thank you, man.
For doing
this. Thank you.
You guys know Johnny, lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
And you're singing the anthem today, so I appreciate you wasting your pipes on us a little bit.
No, I hope I don't screw it up. So,
I heard that's a tough song to sing.
It's tough in one respect because it's like it's three octaves, but like I did a bunch of research on the actual song, and it's actually in the key of B, which actually works really well for me.
That's how.
And then I went, and then I went to my singing teacher, and I'm like. We have to rehearse this.
Really?
Yeah, but it turns out.
But you've done it before, right?
A couple times. I got to do it outside at Lambeau Field, which, like, come on, if you get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Even though I'm not a big sports fan, like, just the mythology, you know, and the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, the history.
You know,
Was it a cold day?
In the words of Vince Lombardi, who I've also read some of Vince Lombardi's books, the motivational books.
Yeah.
And one of his great quotes was when it was 20 below outside and they had to play was, "It's brisk out there, boys, brisk." You know?
Yeah, right.
It was brisk.
They hijacked that iced tea.
They did, the Lipton iced tea, brisk.
Man, he should get royalties for that.
He's dead.
Was his that state?
Was okay. That the first place, like the first major event you sang the anthem?
Yeah, and then I got to do it in Buffalo. I got to do it in Buffalo, and then they lost the game, and they blamed me.
Are you kidding me?
No, they did. Some guy blamed me.
Hometown hero.
Those are sports fans, man.
Yeah, right.
Your
insane.
Fault.
Insane,
yeah.
It's your fault we lost.
Did you love that when the guys are watching a game? They're like, I can't move. Things are going well. I'm just sitting here. Don't take my seat.
That's what they get. Yeah.
It's insane.
That's what they.
Yeah, you.
They
lost.
More men wear adult diapers than you know watching sports events.
Was the because you're from Buffalo?
Yes, I am.
So that's a thrill, right? I'm sure they love you there.
I don't know if they. I mean, they like me there.
They're proud of you.
They are proud of me. They definitely are proud of me. You know,
I love Buffalo.
Yeah, no, it's a great place. That, it's amazing because the city's really, really like making a big comeback. That guy Pegula came into the city,
saved the franchise.
He saved it from the evil clutches of John Bon Jovi. You know,
weren't they going to go to Toronto?
They were going to go to Toronto, and then you know Pegula came in, and you know. Bam. It was like on The Price is Right. You know how when that guy that you just hate on The Price is Right, when the guy says, I bid 5,000, then the guy goes, 5,001, and then he wins and you hate him, but he did it. You know, so
that's the rock star life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get up at 10, Price is Right's on. Yeah. Just watching.
Well, I used to watch it with my grandpa.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Just, you know, the woman's dead.
That's when it was good.
Leave her alone.
That's when it was dead. Good.
Okay.
Everyone I bring up, you're like, they're dead.
They're dead. Got a lot of dead people in
but
my life.
But Buffalo, I have some buddies that I went to school in Ohio, and a bunch of Buffalo buddies lived with.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Dayton, University of Dayton.
Okay. Dayton's an awesome town, man.
Yeah, it is a good town. Yeah. And Buffalo's a good town. And Buffalo's a lot of people, you know, there's not a ton of reasons to go there for people from Chicago. Like, it's not on the way to a lot of things. So I think people miss out.
Yeah.
I always compare it to, it reminds me of Milwaukee.
Yeah,
Buffalo.
Sure. It is like a smaller Chicago. It's like a smaller Chicago, which Milwaukee is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's becoming like Milwaukee. And it's getting this really sort of like, there's really like an independent entrepreneurial kind of thing growing there, and medical research is like getting huge there, and then just
I think a lot of cities are claiming to have like renewal, but that Buffalo
repurposing the center of the city again. Whereas like you know in the 60s, 70s, 80s was you know the flight out of cities into the suburbs,
right?
You know, and now everybody is coming back into the cities because it's a different lifestyle. It's more of a community.
And people from there, though, are that's what I always am drawn to, like the civic pride. Like people that are from Buffalo love Buffalo.
It. There's more to love now than there has been in a long time.
And I just read that you recently did a concert and a free show for 60,000 people in Buffalo. Is that correct?
I don't know if it was that many people, but we did.
Free?
Just to give back to the community.
Wow.
I heard the estimates were about 60,000.
It was about
60,000. So it's like, they like me in Buffalo. Yeah. They don't love me.
Was your manager like, what if we just charge them $1?
No, you couldn't do it. Well, it was out right in the street, so there was no way. There was no way to charge people money.
We could pass a hat and be like, hey, a little something.
Yeah, a little something for the band. They'd be like, screw you big rock star.
60,000 people. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's a buck or two apiece. That's great. Yeah.
Was it a good time?
Awesome. Awesome.
What's the biggest venue or biggest crowd you've ever performed in front of?
We played Summer Sonic in Tokyo. I think there was probably maybe 80 to 100,000 people.
Oh my gosh.
That was pretty amazing. But it's weird because they're so far away from you and there's so many of them. It's almost like you're not playing to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's very weird.
It's like a little bit
it can
detached.
Be more intimidating to like if I had a guitar and I was sitting here with you guys just singing a song. All it would be a little more intimidating.
Yeah. No, I could see that.
Yeah. But yeah, because it's almost, you just sort of almost, yeah.
It's too big. It's
Do you
just
prefer,
kinda,
it's too big.
Yeah. What's the ideal concert venue for you?
As big as you can get into, man, as long as you're selling tickets. That's what I like.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like John Bon Jovi, the evil John Bon Jovi.
We're going to start this rivalry today.
No. I love John. I love John.
This podcast, we trash Bon Jovi every other episode.
He's an awesome guy, but he's the best businessman in rock.
Sure.
He really truly is. He is the Donald Trump of rock. He's actually better than Donald Trump. He's smarter than Donald Trump. And
in what way? Like what's his the
his
best thing
business
in his business
thing.
That you
his whole thing is like I want to play the desert and sell it out. That's his thing. You know, and it's like wow. Like he's a great businessman. He's got great skills. I asked him honestly, you'd be my manager, man. Because he's incredible.
Sure.
And then he was like 25%.
Isn't your manager in the room right now?
My manager is in Los Angeles. Sorry, he's too good to live in Los Angeles now. So he's down in North County, San Diego, probably surfing or playing golf right now. But no, my manager, Pat, he's an awesome guy.
We've been still alive.
We've been together. Yes, he's still alive.
Thankfully, I brought somebody up. That
although, you know, you try to get a hold of him sometimes. You're not like, sure. Would the guy die? I don't know. I can't get a hold of him. We've been together 26 years.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
26 years.
See, you're a Buffalo guy. You're
loyalty.
I know. You got to be loyal.
Those are real people. Yeah.
You got to stay loyal.
The band has had, what, about 30 years, correct?
Yeah. From the first time Robbie and I got together and screwed around, you know, with a guitar and a bass, you know, that's
insane longevity.
And that is really what you did. You were kind of like, we're just kind of half-assing it, and then you decided to make a run at it.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting because we really didn't know how to play, and I was playing sort of like in hardcore punk bands, you know. Mm-hmm. Robbie was more of a metal guy, and then we got together, and it sort of became like this weird sort of mix of all that kind of music, and then it was like, I started to learn how to play guitar a little bit better. So then I started writing actual songs. I was really like very, very influenced by, you know, a lot of the Midwestern alternative rock, you know, the Replacements, Husker Du, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
Westerberg, all those guys. And, you know, and then it became, I didn't want to play this hardcore punk music anymore. I wanted to write actual songs, so we started doing that.
And that's a transitional time for music.
It was a very transitional time for music.
A lot of the alternative stuff was coming out. Yeah. And things were changing.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, I loved a lot of it. You know, I was equally a fan of Bad Brains as I was like, you know, Juliana Hatfield and things like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I loved them both. You know, so
did you get to play with anybody early on that you had looked up to?
We played with everybody, man. I mean, we opened for the Replacements on their last tour. Not on the last tour they just did, 20 something years ago.
Yeah.
The last tour of the Replacements. You know, we got to play with Soul Asylum. We played with Bad Brains. We played with everybody. We played with Motorhead. We played with the Boston's. We played, you know, with everybody.
When you're on the road like that and you're still like, you have to be creative. You have to be developing new songs and stuff. Is it tough to be creative on the road?
Yeah, it's more, I don't really sit down and you know, on my day off, I have to get in the studio, it's my day off. I might try that this time, you know, because we gave up smoking and drinking, so it's like, I'm going to go nuts.
Is that the process, though? Is that you go to the studio, like, kind of like an open gym? Yeah.
No, I think it would be fun to get into, like, recording studios around the country and just kind of like, you know, okay, well, let's see what we come up with today.
You never would like just write at home or be like,
I can't stay home and write. Like I'm one of these guys. I got to get up and go someplace. Like, because if I'm home, I'm just going to wind up playing with the dog, you know, screwing around, watching television. I have a chocolate lab.
Yeah.
You know, he's really beautiful. Roscoe. He was named when I got him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's really weird, man. We found a breeder for chocolate labs up in Wisconsin, way up in northern Wisconsin. And it was literally when the guy said...
That's called Canada.
Yeah, well, pretty close. The guy gave us the coordinates of his longitude and latitude.
Oh, man.
Seriously. And we had to put that into a GPS nav because there was no street, nothing. Just longitude, latitude.
And that's where
you show up there.
Did he know he was selling a dog to...
Yes.
To Johnny Resnick?
No. No,
because he would have even know now.
He would have seen me coming. It's like, whoa, it's like the gold card walking in the room. But he just kind of, he was an interesting guy. But he was named Roscoe, and we got him because they train service dogs and that. So we figured, we figured. And as soon as Roscoe got out of that place, all that training, like as soon as he was looking out the back window, and as soon as he got away from the trainer, he was just like, I'm going to crap wherever I feel like it.
It's like a kid going away to school.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah. He was just like,
I'm out of here.
Thanks for rescuing me, guys. Got to smoke.
Yeah, you're trying to, like, we don't do that anymore, Roscoe.
No,
we're living
boy,
straight
though.
Now.
He's a good dog. He's just so funny because he's like, he's really cool, but he's really high strung, you know?
Have you written a song about him?
He gets scared really quickly, you know? Like, things spook him really, like, I'll take him for a walk. And I live right in West Hollywood, so it's like I take him for a walk, and then a motorcycle goes roaring by, and he like craps wherever he is.
So going back to Buffalo, because I was, you know, yeah. I have always known you're from there.
Yeah.
And to make a White Sox connection, there's a couple baseball things about Buffalo. Well, the White Sox used to have an affiliate there. The AAA team
right.
was in Buffalo.
The Bisons.
Yeah.
Greg used to work.
Like 85 and 86, they were a White Sox affiliate. This guy, you worked for them? Oh, late 90s. So he's like, nah, I don't want to talk about.
That's before his time.
Speak up.
When the Bisons were at the White Sox, I remember being a kid.
Yeah.
At the old rock pile. And players from the bullpen would give my brother and I money to go to the concession stands and buy them hot dogs.
That's great.
It's minor league ball.
You saw them at the rock pile, which brings me right to it.
Yeah.
Because that's where they filmed The Natural, right?
Where they filmed The Natural.
War Memorial. That was the name of the stadium.
They tore most of it down, and it's really weird. I mean, it's like this huge sort of like track and field kind of park now, and
they have some of the facade
basketball
there.
Courts and a little bit of the facade is still there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool what they did to it. You know, they just made it into more like a neighborhood kind of thing.
Yeah, I know that Buffalo is proud of that movie was shot there, though.
Yeah,
The Natural. And that is a solid.
That stadium was a dump.
Oh, I bet.
What a dump.
Well, they had Old Comiskey here for years. It was the oldest stadium in baseball. Yeah. And this year is like 25th year anniversary of this,
I can't
of
believe
this, new
this place
stadium.
Is 25
It's 25 years old.
Years
old.
It
yeah.
looks awesome. This is yeah. a beautiful, beautiful park.
They've done a lot to it. They've done. Yeah. They switched some things up from the original. Yeah. They had a different roof, like kind of went out, and now they've kind of brought it in. They've changed some things to make it more fan-friendly.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Is this your first time at the stadium?
This is my first time here.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah,
have you gone really through and toured a little bit already?
We've walked around. We were down in the dugout, which was awesome. We went out on the field, which is great, you know.
Yeah. Do you have like a preparation process before the national anthem?
You know, it's one of those things. It's probably the most scary like song you're ever going to sing.
Yeah.
Well, and just the words. By yourself too, like
the words. Like
yeah, the words are so heavy. You're on your own.
How often do you use that word?
Spangled.
When I order a pizza, I'm always like, spangle it with pepperoni.
Yeah, just. I want you to spangle that pizza with. That's really. I've never heard the word spangled.
Yeah, you don't use that word
ever outside the national anthem.
You know, it would be great if you just went out and sang the Pledge of Allegiance. Just to I wonder how many people would even know.
I pledge allegiance.
That'd be great.
No.
Are you gonna do like a long hold at the end?
No.
You wrap
it up.
I have
no soulful chops. I'm not gonna screw with the national anthem. I'm a purist about that.
Are you bringing a guitar out there?
Nope.
Where's the biggest sporting event that other than Lambeau? Was there another one? I thought you did. I did
the Bills. The Bills. You know.
Did you do the Orange Bowl? Or do you,
no.
That
we,
just
well,
perform,
the band played.
Perform
the band
at
played.
Time?
We performed at the Pro Bowl, in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah? Oh, nice.
We did that, and then we went to London with the NFL, and we played, like, the halftime show.
Does that all, like...
At Wembley. That was crazy.
That's huge. Stay
I don't know.
There.
You just get drunk with the right guy.
when these gigs come your way, how do they get to you? They come through your manager?
They come through a manager.
By the time they get to you,
yeah,
it's pretty... It's something awesome. Seriously to consider.
Yeah. Oh, any of them. Major league sports, forget it. You know, I mean, it's like what people, everybody loves it. I mean, it's, you know, it's always fun. Like, we have so many sports fans, you know, in our organization. You know, like Steve, who's here managing, he collects baseball bats.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he knows everything about baseball, so he's fun. That's why he's the sports division of the Goo Goo Dolls Incorporated. So
that's a big thing to collect.
Yeah.
Like in size, it's gonna take up a lot of space.
Yeah. Steve, tell them how it works.
How many bats?
You can't really.
Baseball bat collecting.
You can't really like steal one while you're here in the stadium. You know what I mean?
No,
walking out with a limp.
I don't have a big enough coat.
I believe it.
Don't have a big enough coat.
What's your Steve? What's your favorite out of the collection?
I collect game used bats, so okay. Probably my biggest would be Willie Mays.
Oh,
wow!
That's a pretty good one.
Do you really?
Guys like that.
Very Jim nice. Collects pine tar.
I do. Just the pine tar.
Yeah.
So if you have any, if you have any of the game used bats, if I can get some of the pine tar off of that, I just take it off of them. Actually,
you can scrape pine tar.
Mostly by fingernail.
Bats and just like check out their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Absolutely. Little slides, little microscope slides. Yeah. That's what I put them on.
That's a
bought a lot of them on eBay. Not sure they're all legit.
That's
I'm going to be honest.
That's a niche end of the hobby.
It's pretty good. It's pretty easy to become the number one collector.
It's tough to find someone to do trades with.
You're the only one.
Probably somewhere around 65 or 70.
I've got like 300 pine tubs.
Are you married,
fine.
Steve?
No.
There you go. There you go. To, that's why you have.
All the discretionary income goes towards that.
But investing in baseball bats is really a lot safer absolutely. Than a 401k or an IRA now.
Yeah.
You're not lying.
If you're buying the right ones.
Yeah. I have a Frank that. Thomas bat.
Vintage. Oh, that's a great one.
That's a great one, especially growing up here. I mean, it's my guy. So
I used to think that like they said a baseball card was worth this, that you could really like walk into a bank and be like, here you go.
It was currency. Mm-hmm.
This is a
– because the Beckett said so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
Not so
you learned very
quickly.
Griffey Jr., rookie.
What's the most valuable baseball card?
The Honus Wagner T209.
I've heard that, right?
Yeah.
206. I'm sorry,
so,
Steve.
So Steve's if on. I were to take that baseball card in pristine condition into, like, I don't know, the Bank of Chicago and said, I'd like to use this as collateral to get a loan from you, they wouldn't give it to you?
That they would.
Okay. Yeah, they
I think
might.
He's more talking about, like, when you're a kid, you know, they have, like, the baseball card value guides, and it tells you that this card's worth, like, 50 cents, or this card's worth $2.
Right.
Like, just because it says that it's legitimately currency. Something of that value, I think.
It's kid currency.
Yeah, it is. And it is, like, in high school. Like,
right. Uh-huh.
You're going to trade your snack pack for that 50-cent card, no problem whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a... it seems like it's almost sad now that the ones that we grew
absolutely.
Up in. Because I still have mine.
Right.
They're
still
not
got
worth
them.
Anything.
But they're not worth anything. No. Why is that?
Because they just made so many of them. They started mass producing them and just cashing in on people buying them.
Right.
So everybody had them and no one ever threw them out. And
well, they always had the Topps cards, right?
Yeah.
Those were the ones.
Yeah.
And then they came out with the, what were the
other? Donruss.
Donruss. Upper Deck.
Upper Deck. Those are the ones. And then
those
it was
were like very
like,
high end. At
yeah,
that point.
But it just felt weird.
Sports
when you're
flicks.
A kid, you do that.
Absolutely.
And you eat the crap gum.
Yeah.
Right.
And I always ate the crap gum that just tasted like wax and the. You know, the cards always smelled like that.
Yeah,
it was
right.
pretty cool, you know.
But. So you were into sports a little bit.
No.
Did you play anything?
He was into gun.
We played hockey in the street when we were kids. Because we were all super poor. And you play baseball out on the, you know, in the schoolyard and that. You know, and but there was, I mean, you know, we didn't have money to, like, there was no organized sports.
Right.
You know?
It's
I mean,
way
like,
crazy organized.
We grew up in a really kind of a rough neighborhood in Buffalo, on the east side of Buffalo. So
it was a
you
Polish
go to play
area,
baseball,
right?
Polish neighborhood, yeah. You go to play baseball, you know, and you know, everybody showed up with a bat, no one had a glove. You know, so it was kind of...
Too bad you know Steve then.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, like he's going to let us...
Big collection.
Sure, you guys, you can use this bat. Use
were you a big music fan?
Yeah, I was more into music than sports.
Like for as long as you can remember.
Yeah,
you've been into...
yeah, it was more that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I was like a skinny little kid.
Is it true what they say, though? Like rock stars want to be athletes and athletes want to be rock stars?
I don't want to be an athlete. No, not at all.
You're okay
but
with
a lot of
athletes.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good.
I'm
good with this. But yeah, it's the athletics and the music thing really, really go together. I think more actors want to be rock stars. And, you know, I would rather see a baseball player with a band than an actor with a band because they're just awful. They're
like
all terrible.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty bad. You know, I mean, I got to keep my mouth shut, but
sure,
you know,
sure.
that
Lieutenant Dan band.
Oh yeah. Lieutenant Dan's band that, you know, he does the whole thing for charity and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know,
do you ever get a request from someone famous and you're like surprised they're a fan or that's cool that they're a fan?
No, I have no famous friends. I just have no famous friends.
You've never been like, no one has ever come up to you and been like, dude, love your music. And you'd be like, wow, that's really cool.
I don't know. Just, no.
No.
No. All right. I stay away from famous
people. It all goes through your
man.
That's how we got you on our podcast.
Done and
no,
done.
No, I don't know, man. I you know, like you live in Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles when I was single and the band was popular. So it's like, you know, you get to date a couple of actresses and then you realize that whole world is just stupid and crazy, narcissistic, weird. I don't want to hang out with those people.
All right, I'll ask you about somebody famous, but different kind of famous and probably not narcissistic because they really don't exist. And I love this. So I have three young kids. And
wow.
We watch a
you
lot
got
of,
three kids?
Yeah, three kids.
Wow.
Watch a lot of Sesame Street.
Cool, yeah.
And they had the famous musicians come on, bands, and they sing a song. And you guys did... Slide, but you switched it.
It's called Pride.
Pride.
And we did that with
Elmo.
Yes.
Dude, it's awesome.
I know.
It was so incredible. Enjoyable as even an adult. And if you guys are listening to this, after this, you got to get on YouTube and just look it up. I mean, it's got over like 60 million views.
Yeah.
He sent me
so
the link
good.
The other day.
Yeah. I just want to talk
no
about
kids.
That
it was fantastic.
Sesame Street experience, if
it
you don't
was,
mind.
Well, because we all grew up watching Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And that was a really, it was an incredible experience. Just because it was so real when you're a kid, and then you walk in the room and you see it, you see the steps, 1, 2, 3, and yeah. the steps, and you're sitting there on the stoop.
Where is it at? Is it New York?
It's out on Long Island.
Okay.
Or Queens or something like that. And
I'm like asking you, can you tell me how to get...
how do you get to Sesame Street? I think it's the 495 goes right from the Midtown Tunnel right out there. Okay, this was my experience. I had to go into the studio and I had to sing Slide to the,
Who wrote the, who Pride. Changed the lyrics?
Pride, this guy, I don't know who the guy was, but he's just some songwriter and that works on the show.
Yeah, okay.
And he rewrote it and he's amazing.
How much in advance did you get the?
None.
Did it bother you at all?
No, okay. It's cool because I'm there for that. It's their situation. Like, I'm a guest, so yeah. I sure. keep my mouth shut and do what I'm told. And, so I went in the room with the guy, was it Kevin Clash, right? Is Elmo.
Okay.
And like, he's like a really good looking Mike Tyson.
Oh, is he really?
Like, seriously, dude. And so like, Elmo is just like not this a good big looking guy
in general.
The guy who does Elmo's voice is like this big black dude. And you're like, oh my God. And then like,
I thought you were going to be purple.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't even think about it because Elmo is so live.
Yeah.
So then I'm singing across. And Kevin has the puppet on his arm, and the puppet's singing, but he's singing into the microphone, and he just disappears because he's so good at making Elmo be alive.
So you're really playing Elmo.
And I'm having a conversation. I'm asking questions. Elmo's answering me. I'm like, ah, what am I doing? I'm talking to a puppet.
Yeah.
He's just that amazing at his craft.
Right, because you don't go right into the song. You have a little dialogue with Elmo.
Yeah.
And then this, dude, I love it. I really do.
It was weird because I got, like, I was sitting there with Elmo and then I got, like, kind of choked up. Like, I was just sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sitting here without Elmo.
I mean, is that one of the cooler things you've done?
It was one of the coolest things we ever did, and we got to meet the count and he counted us. And 1, 2, 3.
Is it that way? Like, hey, do you mind if I go over to the garbage can?
So yeah. Ask no, it was very, it was very he's cool. Not in there. And we got these awesome swag bags, and and then we saw.
Did you meet Big Bird?
Sesame Street
swag.
No,
Big Bird?
But we did meet Snuffleupagus. We didn't meet him, but we saw him.
You didn't see him.
We saw him. He was hanging. He was hanging from the ceiling in a net.
No. Oh, really?
Yes. I hope no kids.
Yeah. We'll post a spoiler alert.
But isn't it weird that it's on HBO now?
Yeah, it is.
Like, that's really. Kind of screwed up.
Characters
but it just
are
goes to show
get
you
killed off.
I know it's going to be on HBO.
Emmys.
They're all going to be smoking and swearing.
Yeah, right.
It's going to the plot line is going to get real slow.
Did you is that like something that you're at that time you're calling people like I'm going to be on?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
See,
and that's the weirdest thing because so many people still come up to us
and still talk about that.
Still talk about that.
See, I thought it was like a something different to talk to you about, like a more obscure. I mean, but obviously not. Just know so many people have seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, the views. But just seeing famous people go on that show, to me, it's just cool because it's probably not getting.
Well, the funny thing is the adults have a better knowledge of who you are than the children who are, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like a special treat for the parents who are watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And then the kids see you with their favorite character, and then all of a sudden they understand you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get them young.
Some of the songs, I mean, I knew Slide
right
very well, and then seeing Pride. But some of the songs, like I'll see on Sesame Street and hear over and over, and then I'll be somewhere and I'll hear the real song. It's like, oh, those are the real words.
Yeah, right, right.
Friendship?
And people have asked me, can you just sing the Sesame Street version?
Oh, really?
Live. And I've done that a couple of times.
Have you really?
Well, then we gotta.
Yeah.
Can we ask
the words
you?
Now. I don't remember the words now.
I think I do.
Pat'll sing it for you if that's cool.
Yeah, you can sing it for me.
I just remember it's about tying the shoe and one and one is two.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Elmo ate up all his peas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elmo ate up all his peas.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. All right.
It really. They did a great job with it.
Well, you did a great job too, man. Is that it's ironic that you talked about, we were talking before we started recording about how everything's kind of lining up right now. And
yeah.
I know you're getting geared up for tour.
Uh-huh.
You have a new album come out, your 11th album.
11th studio album. Yeah.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's called Boxes.
Boxes.
Yes. And it was a pretty amazing adventure. You know?
I bet, yeah. Number 11. Really, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Like nobody gets to do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
We always run into young musicians, young bands, you know, and I never tell them anything. You know, I'm not the old veteran guy that comes, you know what you kids should do?
Yeah, but you had people that you looked up to.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably picked their brain. So
well,
who's somebody?
I tried to pick a lot of people's brains, but a lot of guys were like, beat it, kid.
Really?
I ain't talking to you, you know? It was a very, very sort of like, you know, like, you know, when we were coming up in that sort of like when we had just had our first hit,
yeah,
you know, and then you start to meet quote unquote rock stars and you start talking, a lot of them are, you know, a-holes,
yeah,
just real, you know, and it's kind of like, why, you know, but then
you're
you,
about
but
Bon
then
Jovi
you
again?
Start to no 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 he was no see that's what I'm saying to you, the bigger the star, what I have found in my experience, the more generous they are. You know, John was very, very generous with information. You know, anytime I asked him, I could always hang out with him and talk to him. And he was awesome, you know. And I only kid about him being evil.
No,
it's
I
just
know.
Because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't take the pills out of Buffalo. What are you doing? It's evil.
Were a lot of the jerks, though, were a lot of the jerks the guys who, like, thought you were going
mid-level,
for their spot,
you know,
like,
you're opening for some guys who are just a
like
little
nervous
bit.
You're going to.
Little bit bigger than
probably
you.
Probably know you're going to leapfrog him in
right.
another
well, yeah,
couple
but, well, that's what happened with us, and No Doubt. I mean, we did a tour when we first just had one hit, and No Doubt was playing first. We were playing in the middle, and Bush was playing headlining.
Okay.
And we were playing in the middle, and, like, I was watching and listening to the radio and, you know, and watching Gwen Stefani, just amazing
you
performer.
Knew then.
I was like, oh my God, this band is going to be huge.
Really?
Sure. And then as the tour progressed, they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm like, we shouldn't be playing in the middle, man. We're going to wind up playing first. But, you know, but it was so obvious that she was going to be.
But sometimes I bet it's not obvious. Like, so we do stand up, and I feel like there's so many analogies that kind of.
That's a rough life.
Music
by the way.
And stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be. So. But, I, you know, sometimes people ask me, who's your favorite comic? And a lot of times it's like someone you don't know.
No.
Right. You never heard of. And
right.
I bet that's true of music. Like, you see bands all the time. They're like, how are they not a household name? How do
well,
it's
yeah.
just a thing, right?
Yeah.
You get
well, most of the bands
lucky,
that I grew up admiring, you know, they were, I mean, they never had a gold record. Replacements never had a gold record, you know?
Right.
And, like, you know, the Ramones never had a big radio hit. I mean, it's just yeah. But they seem like rock stars to me.
At some point, some bands, I'm sure, make a choice, though, to be like, we're going to go for commercial success versus being staying true. Have you seen that?
You know what? I mean, people said that about us, said that we changed who we were to in order to get a hit. But that really wasn't the case. It was sort of like the alternative rock music thing became mainstream. And then all of a sudden, you know, a guy at K-Rock in Los Angeles just started playing one of our songs. And it was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And then, you know, our manager was like, listen, someone finally passed us the ball, you know? So put your head down and run hard, as hard as you can. Don't look up, just go. And we still haven't stopped.
Yeah.
And that's how you wind
up
with 14.
I mean, you have so many hits. I mean, I know what people, you know, they love. And I love Iris and Better Days and Slide, Name. Black Balloon. Like, after you write a monster hit, do you ever like, oh my God, I gotta write another one?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes you drink too much.
that's what I gotta start
that's
doing.
That's how you wind up with the alcohol problem. But, you know, you know what it felt like? It really, honest to God, the only way I can describe it was as if I had walked into a gas station, bought a lottery ticket, won, and then everybody around me started applauding and said, that was amazing, do it again.
Yeah.
And, because, you know.
But it's some of that, but it's not.
No,
it's also.
No, it wasn't, you know, but it's like I immediately, like, you know, seized up with fear. But, it, and, you know, and then I had to talk to some people about that where it's just like, look, man, the only reason you're afraid is because you're afraid that you're either not going to get what you want or whatever you have is going to be taken away from you.
Right.
Hmm. So if you can somehow negotiate your way around those two fears, you'll be fine. Just do the work.
Exactly. That's the answer to everything, right?
Do the work. Do shows. Keep going. And it ain't easy, man. I mean, you guys know when you're writing for come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
You are about 98% of the time you're not funny.
No.
And 98% of the songs that I write suck.
So you do listen.
You know. So, so you know.
No, no, no.
Familiar with our work.
No, but you guys got to work absolutely. That material out. I remember. I didn't.
You fail so much to succeed.
You fail so much to succeed. And but you know, I went and I live around the corner from the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Okay. In Los Angeles, right? Sure. And I went Eddie Izzard.
Are you saying stop by when we're out there?
I just live right up the street from the Laugh Factory. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And
Eddie Izzard
was trying out some new material. And like he's so funny.
Yeah.
But comics go out to these small clubs.
Oh, you gotta eat
and
it.
They try, and man, he sucked.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And some people
and
that
one
really
of the
love
funniest
comedy,
people
yeah.
like seeing that process.
But it's
very painful.
An artist,
but then I saw what it turned into.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was laughing my ass off. I mean, it was like, wow, what a change from one thing to another.
Is the songwriting process like that?
Yeah.
I mean, are there a lot of revisions and...
Tons of revisions.
Yeah.
So how about this song? Because this was great about, you talking about things lining up.
Yeah.
I'm here today to sing the anthem for the opener. Yeah. And your new single from the new album Boxes just dropped today.
Yes.
So Alive. Can you just, that song in particular, the process of that?
That one actually came pretty quick. And that was the last song that we wrote. And we weren't going to put it on the record, which is always the case.
It's always
because it's a real stretch. You know, like
different from the other.
I collaborated a lot on this record. You know, like I have two or three guys that I love to write with, and they're great songwriters and they're good friends, you know, and we sit around and just laugh, you know, and I spent 20 years sitting in a room alone writing songs.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, I sat down in my spare bedroom with the recorder and the guitar, and I'm like, I'm going to shoot myself in the face if I got to sit here for 6 months doing this. Like, I just can't deal with this being, like, because it's very isolating. You know, do you guys travel together when you do stand-up?
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you travel alone?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
see,
the worst.
You guys
yeah.
got it way worse than musicians, because at least we have, like, a little gang we can hang with.
Sure.
You're right. You know, it changes the whole week of a comedy club. It changes depending on who you're working with.
Right. And, you know, that's how you wind up, you know, having some dubious female companionship. Mm-hmm. But you're married and got kids.
Yeah, right.
So at least you have that.
Cut
you can
that
Skype.
Part. Cut that part.
Yeah.
You know, you got that whole thing. But it's like, but you know, at least we have each other to hang out with.
Exactly.
You know, I know I have friends who are comedians in Los Angeles who go out and tour by themselves.
Yeah.
And then you know they're in trouble when you start getting the phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you call them back the next day and they're like, what are you talking about? Hey, dude, just calling you back. What are you talking about?
Well, it can be a lonely existence.
It's
especially
incredibly
after a good show
isolating.
And then all of a sudden the room empties out. It takes 10 minutes to empty out and then you're...
Yeah.
And that's you're kind of still kind of feeling good.
Well,
you know?
Got that adrenaline going.
Yeah.
And you get that adrenaline going, and then
left to your devices.
Like, what is happening in your body chemically at that point is really, I mean, it's legitimate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can really
screw you up. Is that what drives
you,
some of that?
No. Honestly, it's like I love getting up in front of people and playing, but I'm not addicted to it the way I see a lot of my friends.
Not addicted to the attention. You're
addicted
to
the attention?
Music.
No, man. Because it's like, I don't want to get used to something that I'm not going to always have. Like, I can always pick up a guitar until somebody chops off my fingers, and I'll find a way to play it with my stump. You know? But I'm not...
That could actually help.
It might.
I
have to play slide guitar.
Like,
yeah, thank you. It would have to be... Yeah, I'd have to play slide guitar with my stump. But But I know people who are like, I need to get on stage. I gotta get on stage, because they need that hit from the audience, and it's very much like, you know, a drug like cocaine or anything else, because you're triggering all those same receptors in your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, approval is a heady drug like coke. You know,
yeah.
Well, you had the buddies on the road, and you got Robbie. Like, is it ever after a long tour where you come to a point where you do want to be alone? You need some space?
Well, yeah, you need your days off when you're out on the road and you want to be alone in a hotel room. So, you know, round about the 18th month.
Do you like being on tour?
I love connecting with the audiences, and I love the fact that I'm working and earning a living doing something that I like.
Yeah.
So those are really positive.
I looked at your schedule. It's crazy.
It's going to be insane.
It's going to be. And you're here. I just want to say this. You're here in Chicago, July 26th.
Yeah,
at Northerly Island.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Which is a great venue. Have you played there?
We played there before.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
It's always, you know, Chicago's always been, you know, the Goo Goo Dolls' second home. You know, really, really early on, the city opened up its arms to us. You know, and, you know, we play in a ton of shows, you know. What was it, the Double Door?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
you play the Vic?
The Vic, Cubby Bears.
Cubby Bear, yeah.
Cubby
yeah, yeah.
Bears.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine seeing them at a small venue like that?
Yeah, you know, Cabaret Metro, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Metro, done that place a million times, you know. Really just awesome. That was the coolest place.
Do you feel like if you come to Chicago, and we get this, I think, on the road, too, there are some cities that just don't have, like, a soul. Or
no.
You might be
yes.
where the club mm-hmm. is. You're just out in, like, strip mall land.
No. People are so open here. You know, and they're good. Everybody here is like, you know, everybody here. Well, I'm sure there's some assholes that live here, but like, it's just like salt of the earth people, you know, just really like,
yeah, I think we could
same mentality as people from Buffalo.
Being here all the time is just you take it for granted.
Yeah.
If you're touring.
Yeah.
And you see Chicago on your calendar, that's probably like,
yeah.
Oh, that's
no,
good.
Cause it's like,
a good place
yeah,
to go.
It's like, you know, you're going to get a good meal.
How about some other cities you love?
I love Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Wow. What else? I like.
Do you feel like you connect more with some of the
absolutely
blue collar?
Yeah, the more Midwestern towns, you know, and up in the East, you know. I love playing New York because you know we never play in Manhattan. We always go out to Long Island, play Jones Beach. You know, it's like
yeah.
it's just something you relate to. And then love playing in D.C. You know, going down the East Coast. You know, in the Midwest. Yeah.
It's got to be fun. I mean, when you gear up for a tour and you start and you just kind of like, you look ahead at the calendar. And do you even look ahead or do you just kind of like?
No, I don't look. It overwhelms me. I get like, oh, man, you kidding me? But, you know, but it is nice to work. So
I can imagine when you're going back home to Buffalo, that's special. I can imagine those
stick
out a little bit on the calendar.
It is special. Once you hit the stage, it's special.
Mm-hmm.
And like, free.
You know,
is this one of Northern Ireland for you?
It's a little bit of a pain when you go home.
I can imagine that too.
Because you're there for a day, you want to see everybody,
yeah.
you want to see your friends, you got to see your family. It's like, you know, this one starts, and then you don't want to slight anybody, but you always do, you know, and the next thing you know, it's man, it's just, but you know who your real friends are.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Johnny, we appreciate you sitting down with us. Don't take all your voice away from you because you got to belt out the anthem.
I got 2.5 big minutes out there today.
I'm excited to hear it. And I don't think I've ever been so geared up for an anthem. I never talked to somebody before they're about to sing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's really, it's a cool
Any
thing
vocal
to do.
Exercises you want to do
I
on
do,
air?
I do and, have, I will, I, you know, if you want to learn some vocal exercises, I can show you just on the way out. You know,
yeah.
We'll just, yeah, you know, you got to do your lip trill, which is. Keep it in the mask. And then you do the mama. You know?
Is that a thing?
Absolutely.
So on tour,
thing.
Have
Honest
you
God,
wait, you ever been like?
Wait, can we always edit this?
Have you ever had to not do a show? Have you ever had to not do a show because your voice was?
I did. I have missed a couple of shows, but generally I try to keep my work ethic up. You know, like
it's gotta be. It's gotta
sometimes
be so taxing.
It really sucks. Yes, and then you know, once in a while. Wait, I'm gonna show you this. Let's see.
Especially when people used to smoke at venues.
Oh,
I used
to smoke pack and a half of cigarettes a day and drink whiskey. So it was like, I mean, I was like, I'm surprised that I still have a voice. You know, yeah, we're gonna take this one. Okay, check this out.
Right,
okay, choose a warm up. Done. Okay, here we go. Like,
is this an app?
This is an app on my phone. Turn
voice
the voice
exercise
on.
App.
And we're going to go with a lip trill here. This is a guy named Dave Stroud who works out of Los Angeles who's brilliant, okay? See?
Yeah.
Come on, what are you doing? There you go.
And what's that doing? That's coming out of here.
No, because you never touch your vocal cords. Keep it in the mask. The mask is behind your eyes. Everything's up and out of the head. Never sing from the chest. Always from the diaphragm. You make a motion like you're going to poop. Yeah.
Man, I need to learn more of this stuff. My voice gets shot sometimes. Absolutely. Like if I don't have the monitor on and I cannot hear myself, like I feel like I really overcompensate and it just like
No, you don't have to do it. That's why your monitor should be nice and loud so you're not.
Well, a lot of comedy clubs or venues you do comedy don't have a monitor.
Yeah.
So you are just kind of you're on your own for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Do you have like tricks if like you lose your voice or anything?
If I lose my voice.
Yeah. Or start
Yeah, you go to a doctor and you get a cortisone shot. You try not to do that, you know, once a year maybe if you're on tour. You know, it's the most important thing is like lots of water, lots of sleep.
Do like hot salt water and honey.
No, none of that nonsense. Like that. Or I mean organic honey works, but you know, helps out, but you know, it's just basically like doing these ridiculous exercises that you feel silly doing, but they really truly work.
Johnny, honestly, thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
A little bit more off air, but here we go. Boxes is the new album, the 11th album, and we're looking forward to checking that out. We heard the new single; it's fantastic. Congratulations!
Thank you very much.
So Alive is the new single, and you can catch Goo Goo Dolls in Chicago on July 26th. At Northerly Island.
Yes.
We are thrilled about that. That new album comes out May 6th. So May 6th, yes, the May new 6th. Album. Mm-hmm. So Alive is out now.
Yeah.
Make sure you download that, buy the album, check it out. And again, from the Goo Goo Dolls, Johnny Resnick, thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Okay, well, that was our conversation with Johnny Resnick.
What a great guy. I mean, just a lot of fun. Right before he's going out there to sing the national anthem, walking us through his vocal exercises.
Yeah, he was. Really
have you been practicing?
Dude. Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard.
Right now.
We've been practicing. Yeah, I've been doing this since I was 3. I know how to do that sound. No, he was a really nice dude. And, you know, you don't realize, you don't ever know how long you're going to talk to these guys for when you sit down.
Sure.
And when it's kind of open-ended like that, you just kind of get in the conversation, it's nice. So he did not rush us at all.
No, he would have stayed all day if he didn't have to throw out. Or
very giving of his time and the people he was with, his manager and his, you know, the people that are working on Team Goo Goo Dolls. They were phenomenal. And they got a lot going on. Had the single that just dropped today, So Alive, and then also the new album coming out, May
6th,
Boxes. Yep. So make sure you check all that out. And make sure you are subscribing and downloading on iTunes and reviewing. I know we mentioned that a lot, but that helps us out a great deal. And that's about it, right, Jim? Anything you want to mention you got coming up?
No, feel free to follow us on social media. I know we both have some Chicago stand-up dates coming up, and you can always at Twitter, Instagram, at Jimmy Flann, FLANN.
And I am at McGann Pat. All right, that's it. For the cycle. Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye.